to Luke 15. Luke 15, if somebody will catch the lights. T.W., would you grab that that for me, please, while you're over there so close? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm going to slide it up a little bit. I like to roll up there. That's good right there. Thank you. Amen. Luke 15 this morning. Oh, Ambry, don't forget your card and your money. You know the power of the song that, or part of the power of the song that we just sang, and what takes it to the next level. Listen to me, this is important, guys. It's when we say yes for somebody else. When I say yes for somebody else, when I say yes for a family, Sharon. There are some individuals on my heart right now that God has placed in. I'm not saying he placed in my life, but this season, this moment in time, he's got me standing for some individuals right now saying yes for them. Saying yes for them. When we say God of miracles, and God of miracles is huge, whether it is, I saw three notable miracles, or heard about and saw three notable miracles in the last 2 weeks. Two of them were from a distance, although I did meet one of the girls and talk to her. I saw a girl that God completely, absolutely healed of cancer 2 weeks ago. Or actually on April 2nd, he healed her. I met her 2 weeks, a week and a half ago. Absolutely, totally. Tumor on her neck the size of a tennis ball. God dissolved it in his presence during praise and worship. I shared this on a Wednesday. I don't know if I shared this last Sunday or not, but she went before the doctor and Brother Brett. Have you heard this story? Good golly, man! We met this girl and talked to her up in South Carolina. Lori talked to her and met her and all that stuff. When she went and stood before her cancer doctor on Tuesday after what God did that weekend, they said the doctor got so messed up that she couldn't see a patient for 2 hours. She said, "What happened?" And she said, "My God. My God. I saw a young lady get delivered of heroin and delivered out of the sex slave trade just in the last 2 weeks. I spent 3 hours with Martha McClendon Sunday night. She had a stroke on Thursday, and every time I talked to Mark, I was texting Mark, and every time I talked to him, he was like, man, Mom had a stroke, and it was a front left lobe, you know, and all of this stuff, and she can't speak. She has no motor skills. She can't do anything. Martha told me, she said, I couldn't even text. I couldn't text for help. It was just the whole story of this thing was cool as all get out, because Amber's in Atlanta, and she said, this is so weird. I've never felt anything like this from my head down. And she had talked to her mama earlier, and her mom was talking about, I've got a bad migraine. It's the worst migraine I've ever had. I'm just going to sit down and rest for a while. And she said, every part of me from my neck down, she said, it wasn't a head. It was a body feeling. Every part of me said, my mama's having a stroke. And she called Mark in Texas, and she said, I believe that the Lord's telling me mama's having a stroke right now. Mark calls 911 from Texas. One of her friends happens to show up for lunch, and she can't, you know, they carry her to Bremen, rush her to Bremen to their emergency room. They carry her straight on over to Grady. And all this is going down on Thursday. By Saturday morning, they release her from Grady and said, you had a stroke and everything. We saw all of these things on Thursday when you came in. But Saturday morning, we just done a CAT scan, and we can't even find a single sign of a stroke. Lori and I pull up last Sunday evening, Lori and I pull up, and she's down there snipping some stuff out of her little herb garden or something, about to cook supper for all of us. And I'm just like, whew, I believe in the God of miracles. I see the God of miracles. I see him moving. But I want to tell you something. The God of miracles is not just physical healing. It's just as much a miracle when a prodigal comes home. It's just as much as a miracle when a son comes back into the house. It's just as much a miracle when we see people get saved like we did 2 weeks ago. Or last week, all of these people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is no less significant miracle when God does that. To me, the greatest miracle is man that's regenerated by his presence. It'll manifest in many ways. But I say yes to that. And God's got many of us in a place where we're saying yes for other people. and I will stand. Isn't that the ultimate intercession? You say, how can you say yes for somebody else? Isn't that what Jesus did when he hung on the cross? He said, yes for me. Isn't that what intercession's about? It's me coming in and me saying yes for somebody else. It does not take away their free choice. They still have the power to walk away, but I can stand and declare, I say yes for them. God move, God stir, God make it where it's nearly impossible for them to say no, God. Amen. So I want us to come in. It's not enough just to come in. I preached two Wednesday nights ago on one yes is not enough. Or three Wednesday nights ago. One yes is not enough. It's not just enough, Mark, for me to say yes. All right, I have to say subsequent yeses in my life, but I also have to come in and say yes for other people. And so today I find myself saying yes for other people. All right, loud and with faith. Loud and with faith. All right, Luke 15. Everybody turn to Luke 15. Woo. I'm loving what God's doing right now. A lot of the power of what God's doing right now and that I'm digging so much is, it is, and can I release y'all from pressure, church body? Here's a difference in what God's doing right now and what God has done in the past. What God is doing right now is way bigger than the fact that we're coming in and having great church services. Because if it's just about us coming in and experiencing the presence and having great church services, you know what that puts a pressure on? It puts pressure on you for us to come in next week and it to be a notch better and a notch better and a notch better. And if it's, excuse me, if it's not a notch better, then we're like, is God backing off? Is God doing this and this and this? And the absolute thing that I love about what God's doing right now is God is setting individuals on fire. The result of that is good church services. But God is setting individuals on fire. And I am thrilled by that. Absolutely. I have heard more testimonies and more reports of people coming up to me in our local assembly and other people that I know coming up to me talking about personal evangelism encounters with other people that man, God had me witnessing with this people or sharing the love of Jesus or God interjected me in this situation. God had me praying for this person for physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever. And I see people burning with all of that. To where people come in, and like we were declaring over Ambry a while ago, that they are image bearers of a God that is not only alive, but a God that is on fire. That is on fire for what is happening, for His bride, for the church. I've never seen a right groom that was not on fire for his potential bride. I worry if a groom comes in and he's not on fire for who he's about to say yes to. And you know what I am? I'm the bride of Christ. And you know what He is? He is on fire for me. He is on fire for me. He is so pumped about that wedding. He is so pumped about the honeymoon. He is so pumped about that relationship. He said, I love and I burn for my bride. And that's me. You say, you think highly of yourself. I just think of myself the way He thinks about me. If you have a wrong viewpoint of yourself, I'm sorry, because that's not the way He looks at you. If you come in and you're like, oh, I'm just poor, pitiful, miserable, and I'm, you know, wretched, and I'm just going to skate into heaven. I'm not going to skate into heaven just on barely make it just slip by. I just hope I can slip by one day. I'm walking in with a wedding dress on. I don't know about you guys. And here's the cool thing about it, is it's a wedding dress that He has adorned me with. He said, I'll adorn my bride. So you think about it. So get off your little thing that the devil wants to put on you that I am poor and I am miserable and I'm a failure and I'm just, man, I'm not doing it and I'm not burning like this and all of this stuff. And you start realizing, and maybe we can help teach you how God views you. When I saw her, she was the most stunning thing that I have ever seen. And I'm sitting here saying, I still, when I do weddings, I still cry at most weddings I do. Stephanie, that night in Vinings, I had a wonderful, man, y'all's wedding was just cool. But here's the nice thing about it. When, you know what God had in mind at y'all's wedding when we were over at Vinings celebrating y'all's wedding? God had in mind today. God had in mind 2016. I mean, that's been 4 or 5 years ago. I know time flies. It's been 4 or 5 years ago. But you know what God was thinking about? He wasn't thinking about this is going to be a cool ceremony and we're going to have fun and we're going to dance and all that stuff. Bowden people know how to have fun. We have fun. We dance and all that stuff. I had a big time. I barely knew them folks at the time. Had a big time with them folks. You know one reason I had a big time with them folks? Because God was already thinking about 2016 and what He was going to be doing in y'all's lives. He was going to be thinking about a house He was going to connect y'all to and a group of people that He was going to connect y'all to. But that night when she walked down, she was the most beautiful thing in the room. Wasn't she, Jacob? We're sitting here saying, "Whoa, man, son." You know, stunning. Ambry was stunning. And that's what you need to realize. You need to realize when you walk in, you know what he thinks? That's the most beautiful thing in the room. Because that's my bride that I chose. And they are adorned. They are. It don't matter if it's all broke down, scuffed up like us, Todd. It's beautiful to him. It's beautiful to him. Because we could come in and we could say, "Shh, look at all this stuff." And God's, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So the reason I'm really, 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 really excited right now is because God's burning in people. I hear people coming up to me, man, and they're like, "Man, we're going to road trip up to South Carolina." Michael wasn't talking to me about wanting to road trip up into South Carolina a year ago. He's like, "Man, I got to go to some revival services. I got to do this and do that." There wasn't a buzz as we come into the house like there's a buzz in the house right now. There wasn't people getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Tyler, man, we're planning a lot of cool stuff. That we're going, you know, God's stirring it. We're going to do with the youth and all of that stuff. And it's not so, and it's not youth. It's not, Matthew, it's not the stuff that we're planning and talking about. It's not, "Hey, let's go to whatever and have a big time, a fun time and all that stuff." It's like we will have a big time, but we're going to get in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to let God radically change some stuff. So we've got some cool stuff coming up on that. But there's a stir in that because people will say, "Man, you know what? I'm on fire with what God's doing. And I can't wait to tell this person about Jesus and bring this person into the presence." So with all of that being said, let's run with it. No pressure on coming in and saying, "Man, we got to perform and everything's got to the high energy level." You know what is going to be a natural result of your burning? Great church services. That's just a natural result. So all we want to do is just burn on an individual basis, and when we get together, it's going to be combustible. When I get enough hot coals together, ooh wee. That's when the fire starts. So did I ask everybody to go to Luke 15? All right, we're going to be in verse 8. Luke 15, verse 8. I want to feel real, real, real impressed to release this. I've been messed up on this word for all week long. I shared some of this Wednesday night as we went upstairs and met while Brother Jeremy was releasing the word down here in the New Believers. We had a good group down here Wednesday night, and I heard it was just really, really good, and I'm excited about that. Wednesday night, just an informational thing. Wednesday night, let's just everybody meet down here. Lori and I are leaving, going to California for a Bethel conference on Wednesday. Y'all be praying for us that we just get even further whacked out than where we are right now. And I'm more excited about this, I think, than any vacation I've ever been on. And it trumps any beach trip I've ever planned. You know, to a foreign country, dive trip, anything else. And so y'all just pray that we continue to get whacked out in what God's doing for us. And so everybody just meet down here Wednesday night, okay, that's in the adult class. And so we'll just plan on doing that. All right. I heard this scripture referenced in an altar call, Brother Damon, an altar call a couple weeks ago. And during the altar call, he referenced this. And me and Lori were listening to it together. And it was just, boy, it just started rolling in both of us. We were like, "Oh my gosh, that is just like, whoa, that's it." We were driving down the road from somewhere, and we were listening, and we were like, "Whoa, that is bad. That's it right there." And God just began to develop and stir and move in me. And he said, "This is significant for your life, and this is significant for the body. It's a very unique twist on this. I want to come in and tell you, first and foremost, Jesus is speaking in parables. And he comes in and he talks about the parable of the lost sheep. Then he comes in the parable of the lost coin. And then he talks about the parable of the father, the prodigal son. Okay? But the prodigal son wasn't necessarily a parable because he said a certain man. All right? I believe that was an individual. These other two, he is coming in and speaking in parables. The whole premise of what Jesus is releasing right here is he is talking about the father leaving the 99 and going after the one. And that is what we as a body, not only do we have to be willing to do that, but we have to learn to celebrate that when the Father does that. When He leaves, the only person that has a problem with the Father leaving the 99 and going after the one is to somebody that either forgot that they were the one day or they're not the one right now. The only people that had a problem with us praying for the sick is somebody that didn't know anybody that's sick or they're not sick. If you're sick, you don't have a problem with a service taking that twist. You don't have a problem with shutting down a service to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're hungry for that. The people that have a problem with it are the people that are not hungry for that. All right, do you see what I'm saying in this? And we have to, and Jesus in all three of these is talking about the Father separating Himself momentarily and saying, I'm going after the one. Because there is need for this one, and I'll shut everything down. I will leave the multitudes to go sit by a well and minister to a woman. Amen? Because that's what He did. He left the 10,000 and went and sat by a well in Samaria. Because there was a woman that needed an encounter with Him. And so we come in last week, you know, and we just had, every week you have different things going on and God blowing up in different areas and God ministering to different people and all of that stuff. And do not get caught up and say, well, man, you know, whatever my agenda is, but celebrate that God is doing this. Brother Mark was with us last, maybe the whole thing with Martha and all of that going on with Martha was just to get Mark home for the weekend. Great testimony on God healing her. But that might have been just to get Mark home for the weekend. You know what Mark told me? And Mark's in a good place. It is not that Mark's not in a good place. Mark is in a very good place. He gets in some deep places with the Lord. And it'll blow your mind with some stuff that God carries him into and everything. But as we sit and we spent, and me and Lori and Nick and Eric Labby, we spent about 3 hours with them the other night. And just, I told Lori, I said, I felt like I'd left revival meeting after we spent 3 hours around the dinner table and the grill and all that, talking about what God was doing and just all the amazing testimonies and all that stuff. But you know what Mark told me last Sunday night? He said, I have not felt this alive in 6 months than I did today ministering in Victory Fellowship. He said, that was the most alive I have felt in 6 months. So if last Sunday was about, I know a bunch of people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yay, God. But if last Sunday was about Mark Wilburn flying to Georgia to see God heal his mama, and then ministering in the house, his home house. He's a son of this house. No, he lives in Texas, but he's a son of the house. And if it's about him coming and God saying, you know what? I'll redirect everything. I will redirect everything in life just to make him feel the most alive he's been in 6 months. And you dig that if you're the one that God leaves everything else for. Uh-huh. You dig that if you're the one God leaves everything else for. And so we come in and we've got this story here, but I understand the intent of all of this, and that's what God's doing in our body. But I want to tell you how God spoke this to me in this parable of the lost coin. Y'all, start in verse 8, and I'm going to read 3 verses. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. A pretty basic parable right here. There's a woman and she has 10 pieces of silver. Obviously these things are of great value to her. In a culture where a great huge monetary wealth was the rarity and not the norm. It wasn't like America where everybody's rolling around. Even the people in America that say, I really don't have much, are better off than 90% of the planet. Okay? We're wealthier than 90% of the planet, even though that some people would even come in and say, well, man, they're below poverty level and all of that stuff. They're still better off than 90% of the planet. And so we come in with this woman, and she has got 10 pieces of silver, which have a great monetary value to them, okay? They signify a lot of things, a lot of potential. They signify, if you will, security. They signify her ability to go out and not only survive, but to attain certain things. It signifies the potential for what she can do with the 10 pieces of silver that she has. All right? In this story, she loses one. All of a sudden, she has 9. And I asked myself the question, how did she know that she lost it? How did she know she lost it? Did she do an inventory and was like, whoa? Did she miss the weight of it? I'm sure she had them in some type of a bag. Did she miss the weight of it? You lose 10% of it and you know the value of the 10%, then you're going to say the weight of this is gone. But there was something that caused her to realize that I've lost this one. So the word comes in and it said that she first lit a candle. She put some light on the situation. She put some true light so she could see what was going on. And then it said that she began to sweep and clean. A lot of things we can talk about in the sweeping and the cleaning and all of that stuff. I love one translation. It said she rearranged her house. She rearranged her house so that she could find what was lost. And it said that she diligently sought it until she found it. And then after she found it, very interesting, she went and called all of her friends and her neighbors, brought them in, and celebrated with them the fact that I found my... Now, if you guys lost even a C note, you wouldn't be coming in and saying, calling all your friends and neighbors and say, hey man, I got something, I got to share with y'all and tell y'all and all of that stuff. You know, I lost this $100 bill and I found this $100 bill and all of that stuff. This was something of significant value to her. I believe it was something that she looked for more than just an immediate, oh golly, where is it at? And oh, there it is. Let me clean my house, and it rolled up under the couch. I believe it was something that took a period of time that she had to look for. So much so that her neighbors and her friends knew that I've lost something in my life. And deemed it a joyful enough occasion that she called them in when she found it so they could all celebrate together. All right, now here's the spin on this and where the Lord's really got me on this and what He's been speaking to me, blowing up in me all week long. God did not come in and speak to me, and the word He gave to me was for the fact that, that I'm leaving the 99 to find the one and all of that stuff. God began to really speak and to challenge me in my life, and really, and it's perfectly where we are in our life right now. He said, all right, Sid, I want you to come in, and what is either lost in your life or what has never been activated in your life? 10 represents the full amount of her wealth, the full amount of her inheritance, if you will, the full amount of everything that she has potential to. That's what the 10 represents. What we tend to do as a people, what we tend to do as Christians, what we tend to do as a body, is we'll celebrate the 9 and say, oh, well, I've still got 9. Won't we? Won't we? We'll come in and say, man, there's 4 of them, it's gone, but you know what? I still got these. So I'm going to celebrate these. A couple things I do well. I do marriage well and I do family well. Those are 2 things that I do well. But God is really pushing me to a place where He's like, I want you to quit. Not that I'm going to stop celebrating being a good husband. Not that I'm going to stop celebrating my children and my grandchildren and all of that stuff. Not that I'm going to stop celebrating that. But He said, I want you to quit celebrating the fact that I do these few things well, when there are 7 other coins that are lost. You hear what I'm saying in that? There are 6 other coins that have never been activated in your life. And I want you to stop coming in and saying, well, at least I've got these two or three, or at least I'm doing these two or three things right. He didn't say she got all her friends and neighbors and brought them in, Brent, and celebrated and said, woo, you got nine pieces of silver. I don't have nine. You want to see my nine pieces of silver? Let me show how beautiful my nine pieces of silver are. Look at the detail and look at this and look at the value and the weight and all of this stuff. But she was sitting there and saying, yeah, I've got these nine, but you know what? There are some things that I am missing in my life. And I really feel like you want to know what God's about to start doing in your life. I'm going to prophetically declare something over this body right here. And I feel a real strong, I have felt a strong push from the Lord all week on this, for this body right here. God's speaking to me and messing with me in some crazy ways lately, and I'm totally digging it. But I want to tell you what God's about to do in some of y'all's lives. He's about to come in, and He's about to take the focus off the 6, 7, 8, 9. You fill in the blank, however many coins you have, and you know what He's about to start stirring in you? A hunger and a desire and a realization of need that I've got to start going after these things that are either lost or have never been activated. The things that you used to have that are lost, God's going to put, He is going to start stirring in you in such a way, Robin, that you will not be able to sleep. It said she got up and she lit a candle. I don't know if she just, you know, what Lord keeps speaking to me. He said, I'm going to cause people to realize the weight of something that they once had, or the weight of something that I intend for them to have is not there. That's what the Lord specifically is saying to me. That you are going to realize the weight. And I can imagine just sitting and feeling what? We ship handlebars all over the world, and I've got an individual box that most of our handlebars will fit in. And so we can actually fit two of them together, and we'll have different dealers and different people that will order two. And what we'll do is we'll glove them together and fit them in the same box that one will fill. I can pick up a box without even telling the reading the label or the work order or anything, and I can tell if it's got two handlebars or one in there, because the weight's different. And God intends you to operate in a weight that you're not operating in right now. God intends for you to operate in a weight that you're not operating in right now. We're operating with the weight of a one handlebar box, and God said, I intend for you to operate in the weight of a two handlebar box. I intend for you to operate in the weight of what 10 feels like instead of what 9 feels like and what 6 feels like. And here's what's going to, there's going to be a stirring among you and a stirring in this house. And I see a stirring nationwide and probably globally, a stirring that I am going to diligently search and until I find, until I receive, until it is in my possession of the thing that I don't have. And God is going to put a dissatisfaction of you celebrating on the four coins you got. It does not mean that I'll despise my wife. I will continue to love my wife. I will continue to celebrate her. But you know what I'm going? I'm not going after deep marriage right now, deeper marriage right now. I'm not. She's not. You know what I'm going after? I'm going after doctor's reports that say this person got healed. I'm going after Cynthia going to the doctor and them saying, we don't need to do surgery. Why do we need to do surgery? There's nothing here. I don't understand it. But that's what I want to go after. That's what God's called us to go after. Or things like that. That every time we get together, whoever's here and does not know the Lord, they fall under the power of the Holy Spirit, the love and the call of Almighty Yahweh, and they get saved. And nobody walks out of here lost. Nobody walks out of here without the fullness of God manifesting in their life. Nobody walks out of here unchanged. That's what I'm going after. That's what God wants us to go after. These things that we don't have, I'm going after God to speak more specifically through me prophetically, to where it just gets down to nasty details. That's what I'm going after that. And it's not so I can write a book and say, oh, I'm a prophet of God or anything like that. But I want you to know that God knows your name, and He knows your situations, and He knows everything about you. And if He can use a Balaam's ass like me and still speak through it, then praise God, speak through it. But let them know that God knows what's going on in their life. That's what I'm going after. I'm not going after good family. I've got that coin. But I'm going after the things that I have not yet attained, or I'm going after the things I've lost. Maybe it's a life of devotion. Maybe I've lost my life of devotion as it should be. as it should be. So you know what I need to do? I need to go after that coin. I need to search diligently for that thing. I see some real interesting points to this lady right here. Maybe she did an inventory. Maybe it was just a weight. Some of you feel a weight missing and you know it's missing. Don't sit here and say, oh well, like it's your portfolio is going down because the stock market's not doing good. One reason my dad was always so successful in the stock market is because he had a mindset, it's only on paper until I sell it. Therefore, he wouldn't have knee-jerk reactions when the stock market tanked for 3 weeks or 3 months. He would wait until it cyclically bounced back up, and that's when he sold it. You know, usually we're idiots. We're behind the curve. We buy high and sell low because we're reactionary. And I want God to so stir in us that we are ahead of the curve on things in our life of devotion and all of this stuff. Amen? And maybe she felt that a weight was missing out of this. I want some of you to start being sensitive. God wants some of you to start being sensitive that, you know what? This thing's... How many of you guys can pick up a 5-gallon gas can and tell how many gallons is in it? You can't you, Gordon? I can. I've held enough 5-gallon gas cans that I can pick it up and I can tell you if there's about 2, 3, or 4, if it's slap full. I can say, they ain't even a gallon of gas in that. And I pray and I believe the Father is going to make us so sensitive to what He wants to do and desires to do in us right now that we'll be able to tell if there's weight missing from our life. If there is weight missing from our life, and what God's going to do, He's going to start stirring in you, Brooke, where you want to say, you know what? I want to go after those things that are missing in my life. If it's a love for people, some of y'all don't evangelize and minister to people because you don't love people like God loves people. You don't see people like God sees people. You want to rush through an altar call, even though there's 4 people down here, God's ministering to them like crazy, and you're like, I got to get to Zaxby's by 12:30 and all of that stuff. You know, you know what? You don't love God, love people the way God loves people because God says, man, I'll stop heaven for this person right now. The Word says when one comes back to the Lord, all the angels celebrate and rejoice over that one coming back. Heaven moment, you say, heaven's always shutting down then. Yes! And it's okay with that. So I pray that you're sensitive to the weight of not only what you have had in the past, but what the Word and the Father says you are supposed to have. Reread Mark 16. It doesn't say these signs will follow the apostles. It said these signs shall follow them that believe. And you know what it starts talking about? It starts talking about deliverance. It starts talking about healing. It starts talking about a lot of things that we think are so supernatural and so way out there, but they're natural in heaven. If it exists in heaven, it should exist on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to keep going back to that verse. That's my favorite verse in the Bible right now. Thy kingdom come, because that tells me God's heart for us. Because He tells us that's how we should pray. Does Jesus in the Bible anywhere, I've heard this statement made for quite some time now, and I totally agree with it. Anywhere in the Bible anywhere, does it tell us how to deal with unanswered prayers? Anybody got any scripture you can throw out there where it tells us how to deal with unanswered prayers? How Jesus teaches us how to deal with unanswered prayers? It's not in there. You know why? He never intended for there to be unanswered prayers. You say, what? Wait a minute, brother. That's a stretch out there. Show me where Jesus says, all right, guys, when I don't answer your prayers, this is how you deal with it. So, somebody show me that scripture. I need it for my repertoire. But you know what? You won't find it in there. Because it's not His intention for us to have to deal with unanswered prayers. What does He say? Whatsoever you ask. That's what 10 feels like. See, here's the thing, man. God saved you to carry around a 5-gallon gas can, and most of us have been content because the church said, don't swing for the fence, buy a 1-gallon can. You still got gas. I get real aggravated in my mix can. I've got a 1 gallon mix can. That sucker always runs out. Anybody ever get, Joseph, you ever get aggravated? Every time I go cut wood, I'm like, daggone, there ain't a quart of gas in this thing. And you know why? It's because I'm toting around a 1 gallon can that has severe, serious limitations to how much I can do with that. But the church will say that's all you can believe for is the 1 gallon can. But the Word says you can believe for the 5 gallon can. The Word said it's supposed to feel like 10 coins, not feel like 9 coins. So quit celebrating the 9 and start looking for the 1 that's missing. Stop celebrating the 6 and start looking for the 4 that are missing. You say, well, I've never had those 4. Does the Word say you're supposed to have those 4? If the Word says I'm supposed to have those 4, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look for the 4. I'm going to look for the 4. I'm going to diligently seek the 4. How did she look for these? Real quickly, how did she look for these? First thing she did was she lit a candle. She put some proper light on this thing. We want to grope around in the darkness and think we're going to find all of these lost promises. I'm going to say lost promises, okay? We think we're going to grope around in the dark. Is that not stupid? But yet we do it as God's children. We don't get in the Word. Where's the light? What did Jesus say He was? What's this? It's the light. It's the light. You know what your life of devotion is? It's light. It's light. It's going to shine on the things that are... Here's what it's going to shine on, guys. 2 things. Here's what it's going to shine on. It's going to shine on all the stuff that needs to be moved and swept away. Everything that is in the way of the lost coin. But it's also going to reveal the glimmer of the coin. That's what it's going to do. You say, I want revival and I want God to move. Well, be ready for Him to shine light on your dirt. Be ready for Him to shine light on your dirt. If we have low lighting in our house, everything looks clean, doesn't it? But what happens when you put proper lighting on it? It shows things that you would not normally see. I have certain fluorescent lighting in my inspection area that will cause you to see things that you will not see if you're looking at one of my products out in the sunlight. You can take that handlebar and you can carry it out in the sunlight and you can say, "Woo, that thing's..." On a day like today, you're like... But you can take that same handlebar and you can look at it under the fluorescent lighting that I have in my inspection area, and you know what it is? Every pit, every scratch, every blemish then begins to be revealed. And if we want to find the lost coins in our life, whatever they may be, if we want to find the lost coins in our life, we have to allow God to shine His light on our life. Well, I have to allow Him to come in. We have to be like Peter where he comes in and the Lord says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." What kind of rebuke is that from a father? And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what he told him one time because he was thinking with this and God said, "You've got to think with this." This same Peter received it and said, "I'll let you shine light in my life." And you know what he did in the book of Acts? His shadow was falling on people and because of the presence they were getting healed. Hunter, you want all 10. You want all the 10 promise, potential, you know, fullness and all of that stuff. You want all of that stuff manifest? Let God shine His light on your life. And He'll come in and He'll reveal dirt and He'll reveal junk and He'll reveal impure thoughts and impure motives and all of that stuff. But when He comes in, and that's the whole inner healing thing with the Blake House. That's what it's all about. It's coming in and let's put a light on this. And let's see all the stuff that's caused pain and hurt and separation and failure and all of that. And once we see that, then we can sweep it away. And that's what she did. She lit a candle and then she started sweeping all the dirt. She started getting all the junk out. House looked good in the dark. I'm better than all my running buddies and all that stuff. Yeah, you're all in the dark. Quit comparing yourself to them. That's not a heavy weight. That's a 1 gallon can. We come in as teachers and we say, I'm a Christian teacher. It's not enough. You go through Bremen school system or Harrison County school system right now and do a poll and ask them how many of them are Christian teachers, and I guarantee you there's probably going to be about 70%, probably more than that, wouldn't you think, Beth, that would declare and say, you know what, I'm a Christian teacher. You might be hard-pressed to find them that do not proclaim to be Christian teachers, but that's not enough. What are you operating in? He left early and went to Mobile to a coach's clinic Nick a while ago. But you know one reason that God's blowing up in these kids' lives and so many kids' lives right now in the wrestling program, in the football program, in the FCA and all that stuff over at Harrison County? Because he understands right now that the weight of what he's supposed to operate in is not just two coins of my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, 9:10. The First Pentecostal Church of Victory Fellowship in Bremen, Georgia and all of that stuff. That ain't enough, dude. Are you operating in the weight? Right now he is. Y'all need to be lifting him up and praying for him like crazy that he would continue to burn. And I pray it gets more intense. I pray it gets more intense. I pray it gets more intense. So she shined light on it, and then she started getting the dirt out of the way. She started sweeping. She started sweeping. She started moving. I love the one translation that says she rearranged her house. She rearranged her house. It didn't mean she... How many of y'all know the difference in sweeping around stuff and actually moving stuff to clean under it? It's scary when you move stuff in it. When you move stuff, you find cobwebs and, in our case, Labrador Retriever hair and everything else. You're like, boom! Kind of like when you clean a couch out right. I'm not talking about wiping off, but you pull the cushions out and you're kind of like... Me and Lori's had the same pillows for like 15 years, and I love my pillow, but if you did one of those micro things where you look in there, it would probably be so disgusting, I wouldn't even be able to. I'd feel like... She rearranged it. I told somebody this week, I said, you know what God is doing in my life right now? God is absolutely, and me and Lori, I'll say this is because you can't separate one without the other. You know what God's doing in us right now? He's like, man, where are you at right now in God and all that stuff? And I love it. I've got friends that will ask me that. I've got some friends that almost, if you're not in a good season, it'll make you very uncomfortable. But you know what they'll do? Man, Chris, we'll see them, and we hadn't seen them in 2 months. You know, we talked to them on the phone, all that stuff. Hadn't seen them in 2 months, and they'll come up and say, man, where are you at with God right now? What's God doing in your life? I got one friend, the first thing he'll ask me, you know, after, hey, how's it going, all that, the first thing he'll come in and say, what's God doing in your life right now? And I'm sitting there saying, but I'm so thankful for that. But what God's doing in our life right now is He is causing us to rearrange our life so we can find the things that we're not operating in. I am literally rearranging my life right now so I can find the things that I'm not operating in. Not necessarily things that I've lost, Brett, but things that as a son I never knew I had. I never walked in those things. I knew what the Word said about it, but I've never walked in the weight of it. And I long for the weight of 10 coins. Because I know 10 coins is going to change this person's life. I know 10 coins makes a tumor leave. Huh? I know 10 coins. I know what 10 coins can do. 10 coins can totally physically heal a Michael. 10 coins can totally physically heal a Karen. 10 coins can totally do this. It can totally set a captive free. It can totally... These guys that come in from the Blake House, it doesn't have to be a 10-month program from them to get delivered from heroin and all of that stuff. They can come in here the first Wednesday night. The first Wednesday night that they come into Victory Fellowship, they can be absolutely 1,000% delivered from their addiction because we're operating in the weight of 10 coins. The question is, are you willing to rearrange your life? And you say, well, I've just got so much going on in my life right now. Hello? Stand in line. The question for me is all of this busyness of my life, how much of that is God put in my life and how much is Sid put in my life? You say, I got too much on my plate right now. Who filled your plate up? God or you? God or you? There was a transition in my life. I used to could eat like crazy, like insane amounts of food and all that stuff, and never gained weight. You know, I had a super high metabolism and all that stuff. I mean, like, we'd go to like catfish dinner and eat, and I could eat like 15 catfish. I mean, that's no lie. I've done it before. You know, embarrassed people that we're with, like, dude, aren't you done yet? And I'm like, dude, I'm getting going. But there was a transition as I got older, and my metabolism, I don't eat half as much as I used to, but there was a period of time where I would still load my plate up because I said, you know what, I remember when I could eat all of this, and so I would still load my plate up, but then I wouldn't eat half of what I got. And I had to realize that this is where, and what we've got to do is we've got to come in and we've got to transition to a place to where we have to say, I'm going to let God load my plate up, and I'm not loading up my plate. And when He loads it, then I know I can handle all of it because He'll give me the grace to do all of it. But this stuff that I've added on there, So how will you rearrange your life? Come on, let's get real. If you want to operate in the weight of 10 coins, how will you rearrange your life? How will you rearrange your life? If you want to change not just your immediate family, but your extended family, how will you rearrange your life to host the weight of 10 coins? See, that's your role in all of this, is hosting the weight of 10 coins. You say, man, I don't know if I can do that. The Word says you can, because it also says that you're a daughter of Zion. And as a daughter of Zion, this is what comes with being a daughter of Zion, is all of this stuff. You're the Son of the Most High God. You say, man, I can't operate in the weight of 10 coins right now. And God says, so what are you saying? I'm not able to raise up a son that can walk in the way to this? Huh? That's the thing. Are we willing to rearrange? She rearranged. All right? She searched diligently until she found it. I love this part of this little story right here, this parable. She had singular focus on this until she found it. She was not, it wasn't like she abandoned and threw away the other 9 coins, but she said, I've got these in this bag or box or whatever. These are right here in this safe place. I am not constantly looking over my shoulder for the one, you know what, or for the 9 to make sure they're still in place. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking for the one. She had singular focus on the one. Will that be your focus? Will that be your focus? You say, well, I'm just not in a good season of my life right now where it can be my focus. Brother, you're at a different place. It can be your focus right now. Then you're not really worried about whether you've got 10 or 8, are you? You're not worried about when you've got 10 or 8. Gordon, I remember when somebody stole your welding rig. Y'all ever seen these movies where somebody walks up and they say, all right, give me a gun, and they pull out 32 guns that they've got on them from various places? You're like, you got a gun stored right there? Y'all ever seen those little movie things like that? That was Gordon. I mean, that joker was packing serious and with the intent, if I find somebody and I have to hurt them, I'm going to hurt them because they stole something that was yours. Listen, not only did they steal something that was yours, they didn't steal a keepsake. They stole something that had the capacity to make you a living. So that made it intrinsically more valuable. Because they stole something that is going to, without it, it will inhibit my ability to live. And that's what we've got to realize. This one coin, the weight of the one that we're not operating in. Todd, that's not the thing of, oh, that's a nice keepsake over here. But that's the thing that has capacity to give you life. That has capacity. So blessed by my daughter last night. We were sitting there and had a little fire out by the pool, and we had supper, and the boys are out of town working a bike rally, and we had supper, and I cooked on the grill and all that stuff, and Kit Terry came over because Randy's out of town, and we're sitting around and all that stuff, and the kids were up playing, and it's getting on in the evening, you know, 9:30 or something like that. And Ariel comes over, and me and Terry sit next to each other and just talking and listening to some Bethel worship and talking about how this is paradise and wonderful and all of this stuff. And Ariel comes over, and she says, we're going to pray for Terry right now because she's got this going on physically and this and this and this. And that messed with me. She didn't say, hey, I'll pray for you tonight. I'll say I'll pray for you when we go to bed tonight. Or we'll pray for you at church tomorrow. So we're going to shut down what we're doing right now and I'm going to come over here and I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to pray for you for complete physical healing. And you know what that was? That was Errol operating in the weight of 10 instead of her being satisfied and saying, I'll operate in the weight of 5. And you know what? When she does that, that's when she's going to be fulfilled. And if she's not doing that, she'll never be fulfilled. I don't care what her bank account looks like. I don't care what her downtime looks like. I don't care what her weekend calendar looks like. Until she's operating in the weight of 10, it'll drive her mad. Because once you've operated in the weight of 10, nothing else satisfies. When you've seen the weight of 10, felt the weight of 10, and seen the impact of the weight of 10, the reason she did that is because she loves her. But the reason we minister to a stranger is because we love them. And we feel the weight of 10 and we say, that's what I want to flow in. So she had singular focus that I have got to get back the weight of 10. And the last thing that I see in this, and I know this is kind of old school preaching and all that, but we still need old school preaching. We don't just need a flowing in the Holy Ghost. We need both. But the last thing that I see in this is once she found it, you know what she did? She celebrated it. I probably had more people think that I'm weird lately than ever before. Strangers. Because you know what I want to do? I want to brag about the goodness of God and what God's doing. And that has not always been the case with me, guys. My natural personality is not to witness to a doggone truck driver dropping off a load of boxes. Okay? But if they pull up and say, hey man, how you doing today? They're gonna know about it. I had a little vet come out to the farm the other day, little girl. She's obviously graduated Georgia Veterinary School, so she's got to be out of high school at least 8 years, but she's still like a little old young. Everybody looks like a little, young little old girl to me now. But her and her assistant came out because we had a calf with pneumonia and we needed to get a diagnosis and do pull blood and all of that stuff, you know. And then so they come out and, you know, in the process, by the time we get through taking care of the calf and all that stuff, I found out where both of them are going to church or lack thereof and shared with them what God's doing and talked about healings and miracles that I've seen and that we're going to California next week to a conference because God's just blowing our world up right now and all of that stuff and everything. And a year ago, that wasn't me, Robin. But when you find the one and you feel the weight of 10, this is what God built me for. This is what God saved me for. This is what my Father has designed for me for. And you feel that weight and you redeem that weight. You get that weight back, whether it was lost or never achieved, but all of a sudden it is manifest in your life. You know what you want to do? You want to celebrate it not just with friends, but neighbors. It distinguishes the two. You know how fire spreads? By touching something else. That maybe it didn't look combustible, but it really was combustible. It might not look combustible, but it really was. Six months ago, man, Trace, you might not have looked combustible, but you were. You were combustible. You just didn't know it. You just needed the right fire to hit you and rub up against you. And sometimes it's not instantaneous. It takes a moment. I had a little fire in the fire pit last night, and the girls, I had all my dry wood, and I had a good fire going. But Sidney Hannah was bringing green magnolia leaves over there, and you know what they were doing? They were throwing green magnolia leaves in. How many of you know you can't start a fire with a green magnolia leaf? But you know what that green magnolia leaf did? When it hit the fire, the heat of the fire, you know what it would do? It would go through a process of popping and sizzling and just like, pop, 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 pop. And all of a sudden it would kind of draw up, and then all of a sudden, pop. The heat of the fire had to get some stuff out of it. But once it drew that stuff out of it, the popping and the cracking and all of that stuff, once it drew the stuff out of it, it burned just as quick as every piece of dry wood I had put on that. Here's my thing right now, guys. Some of you don't think it's your combustible. You are. Let's stand to our feet. Worship team, come up. You don't think you're combustible? You are. You don't think you're dangerous? You are. You don't think you're combustible, ladies? You are. You just got to get the right fire to rub up against you. And when that right fire rubs up against you, there may be some cracking and there may be some popping and there may be some things that has to get swept out or rearranged. But when that takes place, then all of a sudden you can burn just as hot as anybody or anything else. There's no such thing as a wrong season or a bad season when you get around the proper heat. There's no such thing I can melt the hardest steel with enough temperature. God can melt the hardest heart with enough temperature. God can heal the worst hurt with enough temperature. Do you have the weight of 10 in your life? That's the altar call this morning. Do you have the weight of 10? I didn't ask if you had the weight of 7, and that's better than what you used to be. I asked, do you have the weight of 10? Full measure. If not, you need to respond. You're not responding to me, you're responding to Him. If not, you need to respond. If you're here this morning, right now, and you are not operating in the weight of 10, you do not have the weight of 10, I ask you to come right now. Come right now. Come right now. If you don't have the weight of 10, come right now. Come right now. The world's begging for you to operate in the weight of 10. The paralytic by the temple, he was waiting. If you're not operating in the weight of 10, come. Come. No shame in it. Come. God built you for it. Come. Oh, yes, Lord.